The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Ross Brierley, John Budden and Mick Norton in the studio. Very good cards at both Ascot and Haydock to look forward to there. We've also got jumping from Taunton and all weather action at Lingfield as well. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Mark. And yes, it's going to be an interesting day's racing on Saturday. Very much looking forward to it.
It is. There's an inspection at Haydock at 8am, so we're going to focus mainly on the action at Ascot and the potential return of Sprinter Sacra. We'll move on to that in due course. Interesting to hear your thoughts there, Gary. But just a bit of a look at the news. We've heard recently that Safir de Ruhr is going to stay over hurdles and he's going to be aimed at the world hurdle. And he's currently 10-1 for that. More of that still at the top of the market at 7-2. Lieutenant Colonel and Safir de Ruhr and Zarkander all 10s, 12s for Annie Power. Beat that and Rock on Ruby and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. He'd have a bit of a chance there, wouldn't he?
I think so. Very much so. I've backed him for the race and I know he's going for it. I know he was a bit disappointing perhaps in the National Spirit hurdle on his last outing over hurdles, but by that time, you know, he was on the back of a couple of brutal time races in terms of the time and the figures that he produced when he won the Welsh Champion hurdle at Fos Las and the Lanzarote hurdle, carrying 11-12 in very soft conditions at Kempton, rather, I should say. Obviously, he'd won a decent race at Sandown before that as well. He's got that victory over fences sandwiched in between an unseat and a fall. I'm not entirely sure there was a great deal wrong with this jumping technique, if truth be told. I think he's been a little bit lucky on more than one occasion, really. But obviously he won that race at Exeter. And then in the Feltham, he fell at a very early stage. It smacks a little bit of the sort of the big bucks about him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't remember what. Obviously, it was the Hennessy unseated, and then they decided they were going to go back over the hurdles with them and never really looked back. But I'm not saying Safir is ever going to be or will ever be as good as Big Bucks was, but I can understand why they're doing this. And he's only a 6 year old. I mean, it's officially rated 165 towards the back end of last season. I'm not entirely sure what more of that was, but it can't have been that much more than that, if more than that at all. So the fact that they're doing this, I mean, I personally think, now that we know he's getting that, I still think the 12-1 is decent value.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll learn more when he runs in the Cleve hurdle.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Saturday, but
even more of a mirror for Big Bucks, really, because he bought the chase campaign, went in the Cleve hurdle, and then never really looked back. So we'll learn more about him on Cheltenham Trials Day.
We will. But I'm looking forward to seeing him run, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if he wins that, he won't be a double-figure price.
No, so I think it's worth taking a chance now.
Okay. News stories just to talk about. A quick look back at Thurles yesterday, or on Thursday as we record this on Friday. Don Cossack now winning 4 in a row. He won the Kinloch Bray Chase. It did look like it was going to be a close call between him and Champagne Fever, but the Willie Mullins horse took a tumble at the last fence. What do you make of it, Gary? He's a fast improving horse, isn't he, Don Cossack?
He is a fast improving horse. But it's a shame, really, that we didn't get to see what would have happened. We'll never ever know. I know Brian Cooper was confident that he'd got the better Champagne Fever. I'm not convinced myself. Obviously, we'll see which way Champagne Fever goes now. But Don Cossack's been talked about as a Ryanair horse. So, obviously, you know, he's a very much improving individual. And obviously, I think we're 6-1, I think, for him, Ryanair. And that's one of the best prices available anyway. I think we were best price yesterday. That might have changed since we recorded this.
He's now 5-1 joint favourite.
Right. It doesn't surprise. He's the improving horse, where in a race that you had a lot of the sort of the old brigade go in that race, the horses that aren't quick enough for a Queen Mother Champion chase, and perhaps some horses that don't have the quality now for a Gold Cup, albeit it took a while for it to develop its sort of identity, the Ryanair chase. I know it's a relatively newish race, but you're tending to get quite a lot of runners now, and you're getting a nice mix of horses, and he strikes as certainly one of the most improving horses in the lineup, and I presume he'll go straight there now. So we won't see him until then, and he goes there with a big chance.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else in the news, Gary, before we move on, that's caught your eye?
Well, I think mainly the sort of headlines going to be made on Saturday with regards to Sprinter Sacra's return, aren't they? I've just seen that on the front page or the first page of the Racing Post this morning. The fact that he's obviously going to run at Ascot, and they're expecting a much bigger crowd as a consequence.
Mm. Okay, well, let's move on to that action anyway. Saturday's racing. Gary's going to go through some of the big races at Ascot for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, great Saturday in prospect. We've got action at Haydock providing the pass of the inspection. Well, we'll see the new one in action in a champion hurdle trial. We've got the Peter Marsh chase on their card as well. But we're going to focus on Ascot because hopefully that will go ahead and we may see the return of Sprinter Sacra. And the first race that Gary's going to look at is the 150, which is a mare's hurdle. It's registered as the Warfield mare's hurdle, a grade 2 contest over 3 miles, and some pretty informed mares coming into this, Gary. Which ones are on the shortlist for you?
Well, despite some of their ratings, a bit of a puzzle goes on the shortlist for sure. They're trained by Harry Fry, who's won 5 of her last 6 starts. Looks to be improving at a rapid rate of knots, albeit was second last time out. Dark Spirit's a regular in these type of races. I was impressed with Land of Vic's victory at Kempton last time out in mare's only company. But all things considered, despite having to carry the penalty, I think it's pretty difficult to get away from Carol Spirit, albeit she was actually second in this race last year behind one of Bit of a Puzzle's stable companions, Highland Retreat. That was actually the penultimate time we saw this horse. We saw her back in, again, mare's only company in a listed contest at Kempton back in November when she made all of the running. An enterprising ride that day by Daryl Jacob. Obviously, she got a bit of a rise in the weights for that. But I didn't think there was any sort of fluke about that. She's still only 7. She's still only had the 10 career lifetime starts, obviously winning 5 of those. And it's a typical sort of mare's race, really. There's not really the huge strength in depth that perhaps you might expect if it was a non-mare's race, if you see what I mean. So I think it's difficult to get away from Carol Spirit, and she'll be the selection in that 150.
Okay, Carol Spirit then to go one better than she did last year in the mare's hurdle at 150. The next race we're going to look at is the 225. This is the Kelpbray Holloway's hurdle, which is a grade 2 limited handicap over the extended 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and we've got 8 of them in the lineup for this one. Which way do you side in this, Gary?
Well, this is quite an interesting contest. We've got Willem, a horse trained by David Pipe, only a 5-year-old, wears the tongue tie for the first time. And has it been seen since falling at O'Toy back in June? Prior to that, had won at Compiègne when ridden by David Cottin, and is pitched straight into handicap company on its debut for this yard. Yes, inexperienced. The tongue tie goes on for the first time. But it's very interesting that David Pipe is willing to put this horse straight into handicap company. It's one of those horses that goes into the could-be-anything bracket. That said, it makes it's not easy to tip a horse with this kind of profile because you just don't know what you're getting. Obviously, you know, I'm not sure how long the horse has been with David. I'm sure if we find it, we'll probably find out in the Racing Post tomorrow. I mean, when they do the preview of the race, I'm sure they'll ask, or he'll give a quote with regards to that. He's interesting. He goes on the shortlist simply because of how he's been campaigned. The other horse who's come over from France is Le Mercury, trained by Paul Nichols. Now, we know a little bit about this horse, albeit he's only had the 1 start here in the UK, finished 7th behind L'Ami Serge. Been in a A fair old way, actually, on UK debut on Hennessy Day. A horse who had won in O'Toy prior to that. So I'm not an expert on the French form. I'm sure there'll be somebody that can link those two and work out which of the two's better handicap, because obviously the Mercury's got 11 stone to carry, Willem's got 10-4 to carry. So those two are interesting. As to is Baradari, who was actually behind Garde la Victoire in the Greatwood Hurdle, or the old Greatwood Hurdle. I'm not sure if it still carries that name. And obviously Garde la Victoire won that race. Baradari hasn't been seen since then, but I still think there's better to come from Baradari. He was a useful horse last year. Still think he's got the look of a fairly well-handicapped horse about him. Obviously, Garde la Victoire finished fifth in the Ladbrokes Hurdle here when last seen. And he's taking a slight step up in shape. I think that actual step up in shape will help this horse, but he's got 11-12 to carry, and that would have to be a slight concern, I suppose. Livius is a regular in these type of races, and amazingly, I think he's only 7. It seems like he's been around a lot, a lot longer than that. But the one I'm going to take a little bit of a chance on, because we know he'll like conditions, is the Nick Williams trained Abracadabra Savola. Now, this horse was last seen finishing third at Haydock just before Christmas. That was over 2.5 miles. He was top weight that day. Thankfully, he doesn't have that sort of weight to shoulder on Saturday afternoon. Prior to that victory, he finished in a race. He fell in a race at O'Toy. He's a horse who's been fairly aggressively campaigned, actually, by Nick Williams. He's often a horse that he's often a trainer that takes his horses to France to look for a bit of better prize money. This horse won the Victor Ladorum Hurdle in pretty heavy conditions last year. I can't see another obvious horse to really sort of take him on for the lead, you see. I know Raven Black made all last time at Sandown, but that was a change of tactics, if you like. So he doesn't have to lead Abracadabra Savola, but he made all when he won the Victor Ladorum last year. And if he does get a softish lead, he might be difficult to peg back. Even if he doesn't, I still think he's fairly treated. So an interesting race, some interesting horses that have come over from France, the likes of Le Mercury and Will.i.am. We pass over Garde la Victoire, he's got a lot of weight to carry. Baradari, I still think he's fairly treated, but the selection is Abracadabra Savola.
Okay, Abracadabra Savola in that race. Then the big race of the afternoon at Ascot is the 3 o'clock. It's the Clarence House Chase, a Grade One over 2 miles and 1 furlong. The eagerly anticipated return of Sprinter Sacra from 13 months off the track. He's now 10-11, being well backed at the top of the market. Dodging Bullets 9-4, 11-2 for Twin Light, Summersby Sixers, and 50s for Grey Gold. Do you think it'll be a winning return for the Henderson Superstar?
I wouldn't be backing him at 10-11. I'd be more than happily watch him and let him win at that price and let him strut his stuff with me having no financial investment, if I'm perfectly honest. Obviously, Dodging Bullets won the Tingle Creek when we last saw him. You just want to see him return in one piece, don't you? You don't want to... come 3.05 tomorrow, it might look a fantastic price, but obviously he's been off the track for a while. I don't know the full scientific sort of with regards to what happened to him, how that affects a horse for its future or whatever. I can't really comment on that because I don't know the full ins and outs of it. So we just want to see him return in one piece. Officially, he's well clear of this lot. Big if. Let's hope he wins, but I couldn't back him.
Yeah. Me and Stephen had quite a long debate about this yesterday, about horses coming back from heart problems.
Mm.
And I cited Denman coming back from a heart problem and then winning the Hennessy off top weight.
Yeah.
So it is possible to come back.
Yes.
But then he said that he wasn't the same afterwards. So it's a difficult one to assess, isn't it? Hopefully he just comes back and we see some kind of the old Sprinter Sacra smile.
Yeah, that's really what we all want to see, isn't it?
Okay, so we'll move on from that. The 3.35 at Ascot is the final race Gary's going to look at. It's a handicap chase, a good handicap chase, so a Class 2 event over the extended 2 miles and 6 furlongs. We've got 12 of them in the lineup. It's going to be something like 7-2 the field. It's a nice competitive race to finish with here, Gary.
Yeah, very much so. Ascot stage a sort of series of these type of handicaps throughout the winter. Good prize money on offer. They're rewarded with a competitive-looking lineup, a field of 12 go to post. I think the market perhaps likely to be headed by Nice One Frankie, who's trained by Venetia Williams, officially rated 149 now. This horse has been on a bit of a roll of late. He clearly likes it at Ascot as well. He's just looking down his form figures. He's, I think, 2 from 2 here, yes. And both those victories coming, I think, in the same race. Indeed, they were the Winkworth Handicap Chaser race, which he won back in November. He was officially rated 129 then. Obviously, he went up £13 for that. And he managed to win a competitive Grade 3 handicap chase at Cheltenham, rather, I should say, when last seen. Obviously, he's got up further in the weights for that, but he clearly likes it here. Obviously, it's going to require a strong career best. And this is perhaps the hardest race that he's faced here at the track. I think there's some horses towards the bottom of the weights lurking that are potential improvers. I mean, all about Cedra Blur, he always travels well in his races. Sam Weddy Cohen rides him all the time, but he doesn't often find a great deal for pressure. Fox Appeal, the top weight, is a horse I like, but again, conceding this sort of weight won't be easy. King Edmund's been running over hurdles a little bit of late. Goes back over the larger obstacles, the 12-year-old. Likes it here. So he's another one that we can't really discount. But the horse that I'm going to go for is a horse trained by Tom George. Paddy Brennan takes the ride. Ballinavarig, a horse that I've seen in the flesh a couple of times very early on in his career, back in 2013. So this horse, actually, when he made his chasing debut, finished behind Lebec at Uttoxeter on Ark Day a couple of years ago. He's won here a couple of times in the past. Sorry, he's won here in the past before and was on similar ground to this. He won at Kempton over 3 miles. He just dosed. He nearly got caught again. He idled in the closing stages that day, the day after Boxing Day on Welsh National Day. And Shangani came back at him, briefly headed him, but Ballinavarig battled back and won. Obviously, he's taking a slight step up in grade. He had Cloudy Bob behind him on that occasion. Obviously, he's taken a small rise in the weights for that victory as well. He's gone up £7, but he looks to be improving. And quite a few of these are actually sort of in the twilight or the veteran stages of their career. And we know a fair bit about them, whereas Ballinavarig, there could still be a little bit more improvement to come. So he's the selection in the 3:35.
OK, Ballinavarig in the 3:35. Let's just have a quick summary, Gary, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, in the 1:50, Carol Spirit, very difficult to get away from. In the 2:25, Take a Good Chance with Abracadabra Savola. And in the 3:35, Ballinavarig.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Gary. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:10pm. Ross Brierley, John Budden and Mick Norton will be the team in the studio. Good racing from Ascot and Haydock. We've also got Taunton and Lingfield. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.